And welcome back to African Perspectives on CHRY 105.5 FM.
Joining me on the line right now is Anar Kasim. Anar is the editor of a new edited book called Africa's Liberation, The Legacy of Nyerere. The book chronicles the life, works, and words of the late Mwalimu Julius Nyerere. Anar, thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Okay, so I wanted to start off by maybe talking a bit about Julius Nyerere for those who are not aware of who he is. If you could please tell us a bit about Julius Nyerere, his legacy, and also a bit of the history that contextualizes him.
Yes, Julius Nyerere belongs to the first generation of fighters of independence across the globe, but in connection, if we can put it in precise context, in connection with the ex-British Empire. So Julius Nyerere belongs to the same generation as, say, Prime Minister Nehru of India, Gamal Abdel Nasser of Egypt, Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana, Jomo Kenyatta of Kenya. These are the men who saw the British out of their countries. Some of them had to resort to violence, like Kenyatta in Kenya. Some had to resort to military action, like Colonel Nasser. But Nyerere's struggle was peaceful and orderly because he played by the rules of the British rulers and with his intelligence outfoxed them at their own game. So this would give you a context of what happened in what was known as Tanganyika, which was a huge country south of Kenya. Kenya, I think, is better known. But Tanganyika was fortunate in that it wasn't a classical colony. It was a British, United Nations mandated territory, and the British had the task of seeing it to independence. And this was a dimension that Julius Nyerere was very conscious of, and it helped him that Tanganyika was accompanied in the process of independence by the United Nations Decolonization Committee. And this is what led to his eventual use of all the international fora, the United Nations, the Commonwealth, the OAU, for further political action for liberation. So if that places him in a context, I don't know if the younger generation will recognize this about Tanganyika under Nyerere.
Sorry, and just about a bit, maybe about Nyerere, whereabouts
in himself? Yes. Yeah. Nyerere comes from a part of Tanzania which is near the Lake Victoria, a village called Butiama. He was the son of a chief, although he himself said that the chief was really not a classical chief. It was an appointment that the British invented for purposes of ruling a country. He was a young man who looked after the herd of his parents, the animals that he tended, and at the age of 12 went to school. But he was very quickly picked out by the teachers, and who realized that he had a very special intelligence, and this made him the first Tanganyikan, for example, to go to Makerere, where he did his teacher's training, and then on to university in Edinburgh, where he was the first Tanganyikan to do an MA. And he came back to teach, but by that time, that was in 1954, he was already interested in internal politics, and he established the Tanganyika National Association, African Association, which eventually became TANU, the party that he led to independence in 1960. In fact, if you look at his historical record, he led the country to independence in a very short time. It was 7 years. He arrived back in Tanzania, in Tanganyika as it then was in 1955, and by 1960 he was already the chief minister, and 1961 Tanganyika became an independent state.
And this new book that you co-edited called Africa's Liberation, The Legacy of Nyerere, aims in a certain way to chronicle the different aspects of Nyerere's life. So can you tell us a bit about the contributors and what kind of themes these contributors touch on to kind of make this whole...
Well, the original inspiration was that it was 10 years last year. It was 10 years after he died. He died in October 1999. And we thought that it was time, both inside the country and outside, to remember him and to remember what he did, what he wrote, what he explained, what he set into motion, because it seemed that it was something that we could now look back on and make sense of. History has to be a part of the past before you can really interpret it. And so Chambi Chachage, who lives in Dar es Salaam, and I here in Geneva, decided to share the task of putting together a list of contributors who would be ready to talk about different subjects. So the book is divided into two parts. That part I edited is to do with his international dimension, with the people that worked with him, people who interviewed him, people who understood him. And the Tanzanian part is mainly how the nation building work of Tanzania took place through the development of politics, of the economic choices that were made, the development of land issues, and so on. So these topics are all covered by well-known specialists in the University of Dar es Salaam.
And can you give us maybe a few examples of the themes that are touched on and maybe who has contributed to the book?
Yes, so I'll talk about the ones that I edited. The people who were working with him on two different platforms. One was the Commonwealth and the other was the OAU, the Organization of African Unity. And I'll talk about the Commonwealth because it's here that Canada played a very big role in accompanying Mwalimu's leadership of the strategies to liberate the rest of Africa, which was still under racist or colonial or apartheid domination. Because the Canadian connection is very important in the history of this country, and I think it's something that would be interesting to your listeners. For example, when President Nyerere, first of all, before even Tanganyika's in membership of the Commonwealth, decided to present the case for the expulsion of South Africa, the racist regime of South Africa, from the Commonwealth in 1960. He said that it was not possible for African countries to join an organization where one of the members was a racist state. And so there would have to be a choice to be made. He said, if you keep South Africa in, that means you will keep Africa out. And one of the old members of what was then still a white club was Canada, and Prime Minister Diefenmaker was with Prime Minister, as he then was, Julius Nyerere, in this position. Later on, men like Lester Pearson also became natural allies, but two people were very, very close partners with Nyerere. One was Arnold Smith, who was the first Secretary General of the Commonwealth Secretariat, and the other person was, of course, Pierre Trudeau, who was like Nyerere in many ways, so the same fine intellect, the same genuinely democratic instincts, and the same sense of solidarity across the North and the South, the same understanding of the wider global pictures. And Trudeau and And Nyerere worked very hard to make sure that the connection between the rich and the poor stayed and developed into something called interdependence. And they were working towards this in a very important meeting called the Cancun Summit, which unfortunately was sabotaged by the Reagan administration, which didn't believe in interdependence. But even in Tanzania, a lot of the nation-building exercises were with the Canadian help. For example, the army, the Tanganyikan army in its early stages was helped by the Canadians. The University College of Dar es Salaam was established under the administration of Cran Pratt. So the Canadian connection is very strong. The other platform was the Organization for African Unity, where Nyerere and President Kaunda played a great part in the strategies for the liberation struggle. And this is also an interview which is included, which gives the historical record of this particular contribution through the working of the Liberation Committee, which was established in Dar es Salaam. And the former Assistant Secretary General of the OAU, Mohamed Sahnoun, is also included in the book. Then there are two women journalists who interviewed Nyerere, and their interviews are included, which are very interesting. The first woman interviewer is Nawal El-Sadawi, who is a very well-known feminist writer from Egypt, and she came to interview President Nyerere 1 year before he retired, and it's a very interesting overview of the whole process of his 30-year career in his own words. And the second interview is with a Spanish journalist of El País in Madrid, and she interviewed him in 1991 when he was no longer president, but no longer really an office holder in Tanzania. But he says a few things which are still relevant, perhaps more so today than even before, about the so-called free market being the great answer to everybody's economic woes, which is something that has turned out to be completely not true. The free market has created a crisis, perhaps not in Canada, but certainly everywhere else. And this is interesting to see that two decades later, what President Nyerere said still makes sense.
And this leads into, I guess, the next question that I wanted to ask. And you've touched on it a bit, but what is the relevance of Nyerere today? The book is being published in 2010, 10 years after Mwalimu passed away, decades after he is kind of left the political scene.
The relevance is very, very clear. And this is, again, the reason why we put this book together. And again, for Canadians, it would make more sense than anyone else. The relevance is that it's not enough to have an independence date or a flag or a national anthem and so on to have a country. You have to have intelligent leadership. You have to have building blocks which are put together and which are always the same, which provide security and confidence to a people who are moving out of a colonial status or a status of rule by other people than themselves and their own representatives into a democratic system. This has to be done systematically. It has to be done with an understanding that people must be rooted in their own land, in their own culture, in their own language. And if you don't do these very important first steps, then you're going to have trouble. For example, as you can see in Ivory Coast right now, if you don't get out of the divisions that the divide and rule strategies of the past pushed you into, you will have to face the consequences of tribal, racial, linguistic, religious conflict. that's something that, as I said, is quite obvious now, 30 years later, 40 years later, 50 years later, we're celebrating 50 years of independence. And how many countries have still got to sort out these very first elementary steps? And the other element of relevance of his work is one that relates to social justice, otherwise known as economic development. If there isn't justice, if there isn't a fair share for all, then that too is going to cause something called the crisis. And this is not anything that needs a great fantastic ideology or a great departure from common sense. It's just almost automatic. Where you have asymmetry and injustice, where you have 2 or 5% of the population using up the majority of the resources, you're going to get chaos and suffering. And this is true now, it was true then, and it will always be true. So I think the relevance is pretty clear. And we've tried to point this out in the work of this tribute that we've prepared in very simple language, so that his legacy above all can be made clear. And this is what we mean by calling it Africa's liberation. It isn't just about liberation from colonial rule, it's for liberation to understand what is happening around you.
And those are definitely very important messages to take from the book. We're almost at the end of our interview, but I wanted to ask you a few more questions in regards to the book itself. First of all, where can our listeners purchase the book? How can they order it?
Well, you can order it online. It's published by Fahamu Books, so you can go on www.fahamu.org. This is a part of something called Pambazuka Press. Pambazuka means the dawn breaks in Kiswahili, and it's a press come book publishing come in online newspaper, which is published from Oxford in England. It's published in Nairobi. It's published in Dakar and in South Africa. So the best way to get this book is to go on, as I said, fahamu.org and order it from there.
And it's really significant, I think, also, that it's Fahamu Books that published the book. As you mentioned, Pambazuka is a very important independent online newspaper.
Yes.
I find it very relevant to my research and to my radio work. If you could just talk a bit about the publisher, about Fahamu and about Pambazuka and the importance of this kind of news source and this kind of activism.
Yes, Pambazuka was established by a young man from Kenya, Dr. Firoz Manji, who always tells me, when I congratulate him for the amazing progress that this press has made and the readership and the contributors that he has now gathered around him for this weekly online newspaper, when I say this to him, he says, you know, I didn't do anything. It's just it's taken off by itself. And I think that's a sign of success, that it was just there at the right time, and it has caught the imagination of people all around the globe. Manji tells me that they have at least 500,000 people who read this online paper every week. And the aim is very clear. As they say, it's a pan-African publisher of progressive books on Africa and the global south. And their aim is to stimulate discussion, analysis, and engagement. And there, again, they say that their main purpose is to disseminate analysis and debate on the struggle for freedom and justice. So you can't get clearer than that. This is what Fahamu and Pambazuka are doing, and if you find it useful all the way in Toronto, then obviously they're onto the right track.
Great. Anar, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you giving us some time to tell us about the book.
It's pleasure.
And thank you. And we were speaking to Anar Qasim, who is the editor of a new book called Africa's Liberation, The Legacy of Nyerere. And you can purchase that from Fahamu Books. Again, the website is fahamu.org. It's FAHAMU.org. And you can also check out Pambazuka News, and you can find them at PAMBAZUKA.org. You are tuned in to CHRY 105.5 FM. This is African Perspectives.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of African Perspectives on CHRY 105.5 FM. Thanks for listening. Remember, we welcome your feedback and comments. You can reach us at africanperspectives@chry.fm. And check out our archive shows of African Perspectives at africanperspectives.blogspot.com. At afri-perspectives.blogspot.com. That's afri-perspectives.blogspot.com. Don't forget to listen to African Perspectives every Sunday from noon to 1 p.m. Stay tuned, Pushkar is next. And we leave you now with Mr. Politician by Nakaya featuring M1.
Yeah, yeah, come on, come on,
let me hear.
Come on, Manduku Digital, go, 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 go.
I've been crying too long. Me, I could use it.
Taxes when we the only ones getting robbed of faxes. The crime is not going up, but time is running out, cause all we want is change. That's what it's all about. We will accept no less, and our demands are land, bread, housing, and justice. We stand for the 30 million walking these roads you never fix. We're sick and tired of hearing these lies, scams, and tricks. Instead of looking up to these fake ones for hope, remember Amina, the next time you vote, word up.